Today, our special guest in the second hour is Joe Newberry and April Virch. When I first heard that Joe Newberry and April Virch would be performing together and then that they were going to record together, perfect match is what I thought, and it was. I've seen them perform together. Their album, Going Home, we're going to sample some tunes from that today. Joe Newberry, at my request, has been on this program so many times I thought I would have to start paying him a per diem at some point, and I would have if he would have insisted. He never did. Joe's a wonderful guest. Great guitar player, banjo player, singer, songwriter, April Virch. There's no one to compare April's talents to. Fiddle player, singer, songwriter, dancer. It's an amazing event to see her. And see her with Joe, there's such a perfect combination of skills. You're going to hear from them in the second hour. I finally had a chance to talk to April and Joe combined in Raleigh, North Carolina, at the International Bluegrass Music Association Week. This September of 2017, and finally got a chance to talk to them about how they got together. If you listened to this program, you heard Joe Newberry from Grey Fox Bluegrass Festival, and we talked about the beginning of this relationship and how natural it was for him and the music that he heard actually coming from Canada. We talk about that a little bit. You're going to enjoy this a lot. Please stay tuned. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm really happy to get a chance to talk to old friend Joe Newberry, and old friend but never talked to April Virch before. How are you guys?
Great.
Doing well.
This is a great opportunity. I'd never met Louisa Branscombe. I just sat down with her.
What a talented person, and what a great gal.
So much fun. So I know you guys were touring together, and I have in my playlist Going Home, which is an album that you two did, I guess, as a result of the tour or while you were on tour or what?
Yeah, we started playing together, and it became apparent quickly that we wanted to put it down. You know, like we'd finish a show and we had our individual CDs there and everyone wanted our CD together.
And we didn't have one.
We made it happen.
A couple of months after we did our first gig, we just went in the studio, blocked out 4 days, recorded for 2.5, I think, mixed for a day and a half and a little bit more tweaking, and had a CD.
And I look on the back of this, I see Slabtown Records. Is that a...
That's my label.
Yeah.
What is Slabtown?
I grew up in the Ottawa Valley, and the little village I'm from is called Rankin. But before it was Rankin, long ago, in the 20s, on the maps, it's called Slabtown. And there was some kind of a lumber mill plant.
Now you have to know, April, you don't know this, but I talked to Joe up at the Grey Fox earlier in the year, and I said, he made this connection I never knew of your area in Missouri connecting with music from Canada.
Yeah.
And I had no idea. So he said, well, listen to the radio and get broadcast from you, because I put you as being from Nova Scotia now, is that basically?
No, I'm from Ontario.
Ontario, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know why I thought that.
Yeah.
But you played music out of, do you play music from Nova Scotia?
I don't, no. So the Ottawa Valley has its own unique fiddle style. It's
okay.
Sort of a melting pot of influences. The people that settled there were a little bit more diverse. There was more of a melting pot than other regions, say Cape Breton, where it's very Scottish, or Quebec, where it's very French.
Okay.
Yeah.
How did you guys get together to start just playing on the same bill and did some stuff together?
We have a mutual friend named Janet Kenworthy. She runs a venue in Aberdeen, North Carolina, called The Rooster's Wife. And Janet, for the last few years, has been saying to April and to me separately, you ought to play with each other because you would sound really great together. And finally, last year, we both had a fair amount of time in our schedule that was open. Her band and one of my other collaborations with Mike Compton, we had some time between, and so we got together, actually booked 3 or 4 shows before we ever met. Because people started hearing that we were going to do something, and they said, well, come play for us.
It makes perfect sense.
And so we got together, and it worked. It worked just like a watch.
I know, Joe, that you're a dancer, because I've seen you
yes, sir.
Do some things for us. I know, April, you're a You're a world champion dancer.
She's a dancer without peer.
Oh,
little and singing and songwriting, but lest anyone be surprised if they see April, she's going to wear out some wood on stage. And it's an amazing thing. So I just think, and I'm not seeing you guys play together, but I would love to for all the musical knowledge and talent that you bring together, which I think is, I didn't know the connection, Joe, until I talked to you in Great Fox, but it made perfect sense to me. But I can't imagine that you don't have anything but fun.
Oh, we have a blast.
Really,
and there's no mistakes on stage. We if something goes a little askew, we fix it, and we have a fun time, and we work through it. And, you know, the other thing about the kind of music that she plays from the Ottawa Valley and from central Missouri, where I lived and went to college, it's a lot the same folks who make up the population.
Really?
French, French and German. Slovakian
folks.
I went to college in Columbia, Missouri, and so that Missouri River Valley was settled by, you know, the French and the Germans, and so these tunes, the schottisches, and the jigs and the reels, they were both places. And then the Missouri fiddlers would listen to these clear channel broadcasts, and so
nighttime.
April and I like to say that there's not much between Canada and Missouri, you know, like a barbed wire fence is about it.
So you grew up listening to this kind of music that you play now, correct? Was that your?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up around the Ottawa Valley style, but my dad played classic country music, and he used to listen to the Wheeling, West Virginia Jamboree on the radio, and that's how he taught himself to play and sing. So
it all comes around.
So he was a big fan of country and bluegrass, and so that was a big part of what we listened to, even if it's not what I grew up playing first as a fiddle style.
Yeah.
It's really cool when you think about that.
It's such a different instrument. I'm not clever enough to, and haven't listened enough to say Ottawa versus this versus that, but they're all, you mentioned the one being more Scottish sounding. They're all different, and they're all different influences, and you've corrected me on a mistake I made about where your influences might be. But it's amazing to people, I think, in America that Canada has such a strong, what we would call old-time music sound, but there's all these different influences.
That
don't necessarily involve Americans going up there. It's actually probably the trend was to go the other way.
As I started playing with April, it made me feel great to know that there are such distinct fiddle styles left in Canada, because here in the States, it's a bit more homogenized. And people tend to, they'll like to learn a tune from anywhere they can grab it, and there's a lot to be said for that. But the different, as you go across Canada from west to east, just the differences as you go.
Yeah, the regional styles.
The regional styles are still really strong.
And it's not that far distance wise, is it? It may not be easy traveling.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that, but I mean, is it really that far?
It's pretty vast, I think, you know, but, and I guess, you know, in recent years, it has become a little more homogenized, too, than it was.
Okay.
But I think there are a lot of things that still sort of celebrate and point it out. We have a great, in the Ottawa Valley, we have a great radio station and show that's called Cross Canada Fiddling. That's once a week for 2 hours.
It's fantastic. Oh. We listen to it when we drive.
Yeah, we listen to it, and
I'll have to find that.
Yeah, check it out. I'd say anyone that's sort of interested in that end of thing and the different styles and regions could learn a lot by listening to that program. It's on Valley Heritage Radio, and they stream,
so you can catch it
on Sundays.
I'll have to find it. Well, that's just for my information purposes. I always try to learn a little bit, but going home, which I have, I know there's always interesting selection process that goes into putting together an album like that, and I bet you there were some that came from your experience, and maybe they overlap with April's, I don't know, but were there some that were instantly agreed upon, or how do you pick these things out?
When we started playing together, because we play with very recognizable bands and units, we wanted to make something that was just us. That if they come to a Newbery and Virch show, they know that they're going to hear stuff they haven't heard in our other combinations. Yeah. And that's where we started. And then April writes great songs and writes great tunes. And I write songs and have collected tunes. And so the last cut on the project is called The Arkansas Travelers. And so it starts off with a version from Canada of Arkansas Traveler. and then morphs into the Arkansas Traveler from the Ozarks.
Well, what's the difference? I mean, I don't mean just like what's the difference. I mean, what stylistically, what are the differences between your version you play?
Right. So to be more specific about the Canadian version that we play, it's from a style called Métis, which is spelled M-E-T-I-S. And Métis people lived predominantly in Western Canada, at least originally, and they were some of the very first settlers. They were our First Nations people. You say Native American, probably. And they had French and Scottish blood as well. They were, you know, some of the fur traders, and there was fiddle music, and so they have their own culture and fiddle tradition. And a lot of tunes that they play, there's some great Métis fiddlers that are remembering their ancestors play versions of tunes, but they're just a little bit different. So the Arkansas Traveler from the Métis is crooked. It's got extra beats in a couple of places.
I've not heard that phrase described. You're saying there's extra beats.
Extra beats, or missing beats, depending on how you look at it.
Okay. I've never heard that description before.
Yeah.
So is it called Arkansas Traveler?
It is, but the Métis fiddler that remembered it, his name is John Arcand. And so people have sort of nicknamed it the Arkansas Traveler to differentiate it from the others. On the inside of the liner notes, you'd see it spelled that way.
Okay. Well, I've played several cuts from this as soon as it was available and get it into the regular program and enjoy it so much. But because I know of your work, I know Joe better just because we've sat and talked before and hung around together, but I knew I would love it as soon as it became available.
Well, the title cut, Going Home, I wrote with Cy Khan, the great Cy Khan.
Yes.
And so Cy had never heard, when Cy and I wrote it, I had a melody, but he'd never heard it performed, and we performed it last year, and Cy came to hear it, and that meant everything because he was very pleased. And when you can please somebody that is that important to our musical community, we were thrilled that he liked it. And we made it into at the end a duet where we do a counterpoint where I'm singing one set of words and April is singing another set of words, and it's done in harmony, and it really works great.
I really like it. I like both your kinds of music. I keep saying that over and over, but April, I've played your things from the anthology and before. I've had those things since before, a long time ago. And I know that John Weisberger was in your band for a while.
Yeah, I go back
that far. I know I saw you when John was still in the band.
John was in the band, and then he co-produced a CD for me with Stephen Mogin in 2008. And then there's a track on here, actually, Will You Wait For Me, is one that I co-wrote with John.
Okay.
Yeah. That Joe and I also do that one as a duet.
Oh, it's so much fun. And, you know, one of the things about working with April is that we both have this incredibly honed sense of home. She loves where she's from. I love where I'm from. I mean, we both tend to try and bloom where we're planted, but she is from the Ottawa Valley. And when she sings in this song, Will You Wait For Me, and she says, I'm going across the valley. It's not just a valley. It's the valley. It's the place that she grew up. It's an amazing glimpse into her, and it's just beautiful. And I feel the same way about where I'm from.
I know that from talking to you.
Yeah.
Well, it works very well together. I appreciate you guys coming by.
Thank you for having us.
And like I said, I can only tell you that I played cuts from this all the time. There might be one in the show coming up soon. I had to get two done before I came here because I wouldn't be on either Sunday.
That's
when it starts playing. So
yeah.
I enjoy it, and I'm so glad to get a chance to talk. So are you guys playing together down here now? We're at IBMA now. Are you performing? Okay. So
we have a couple of showcases and then a couple of street fest performances.
On Saturday.
You're going to be tired and happy. But
Lord, I've dug ditches. This ain't bad at all.
All right. Well, listen, thanks so much for dropping by.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
April, thanks so much for finally. I've never had a chance to talk to you before. I've seen you around. We've
emailed, too.
I know we have. All right. Well, thanks so much. And I'll just say goodbye to many other places to go.